when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you Blood River Radio family out there. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. And by the way, tonight is, it is January the 26th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty. As we always say here at Blood River Radio, you know, we always say at every show that there is no name under the sun other than Jesus Christ, which man can be saved. That's right. Jesus Christ died. He paid the sin price. He died on the cross. He was buried, rose again on the third day. He did all that while we were yet sinners. So if you will, people, you also know the drill. We always start off with a prayer on this show. So if you will, bear with me. I'm not a minister, as you well know, but I'll just do the best I can. The prayers have changed a little bit recently, as you well know, and you'll pick it up tonight if you haven't been paying attention. So if you will, people, please bow your head. Almighty Father God, maker of heaven and earth, maker of all that's seen and unseen, oh, Lord, you sent your Son, your only begotten Son, here to earth. Even though you sent him, Lord, he came on his own free will. And, Lord, like we just said, he came to save us, to figure out a way. They figured out a way to lead us to heaven after our father Adam sinned, committed the original sin. So he came, he paid for he took it. The Jesus Christ took all those sins of the world. He died, was buried, rose again. And if you will just go to Jesus, if you will confess with your, if you will believe in your heart and confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you shall be saved. Lord, if you will, stay here tonight with us, with Blood River Radio, with Liberty News Radio, with all the Blood River Radio family, all the Liberty News Radio family, Sam and Jay and everybody that comes on tonight. And Lord, if you will, help us know, give us the wisdom and the discernment to know who the enemy is, how to fight the enemy, and never let us shirk from our duty, Lord. Never let us shirk. Never let us, always let us ride to the sound of the gunfire. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we have a super show tonight. We have a great guest. We'll tell you who it is in just a second. Today, let's see, this week, January the 19th, was, I've been told to announce this, was Robert E. Lee's birthday. Probably one of the, he's got to be in the top three greatest Americans that ever lived. His birthday, we're just so happy that he was a son of the South. And as we always do, another thing we do, we always announce the donors. Well, we have the donors this week was Jim Zim of Arizona. We've always talked about him. He's one of our brothers, a combat wounded Purple Heart, Vietnam. He was up close and personal with the enemy in Vietnam, folks. He was a combat infantryman. And also we have our other donor was Jim in Washington State. He sent us a real nice check because we're planning on going to Ole Miss when we can. We're going to talk about that tonight. And we always, I got that written down here. From, we'll get to him in a minute. The fella in, Ken in Lynbrook, New York. Thank y'all so much for sending your money. We could not have Blood River Radio in the air without your donations. And people, right before we go to the outline, we've got a great text message and we got a great letter. I've got to read this stuff to you because I tell you what, this one I'm getting ready to read. I wouldn't take $10,000 from this letter or these text messages. Now, this is from this text message here is from Biscuit in Florida. He says, he usually listens to our show in the archives, and he says, I got put on the archive fast, he's talking about last week, so I was able to listen to the first hour on my drive home last night. Just now finished second hour. Y'all were serving red meat, naming enemies, and stating the necessity of defiance. My only complaint with the show is that it's not on the air 100 hours a week. So many other shows, podcasts, waste precious airtime dancing around reality. You're still the only one who's willing to get down to brass tacks. That's some, man, I wouldn't take anything from that. And I got to read this letter here. This fella is from Washington State. One of our guests on tonight, Sam Dixon, will know who this is, but I can't read his name. I wouldn't take anything from this letter. In fact, I'm gonna frame it. It says, "Dear Eddie, you really outdid yourself in the recent radio shows. Eddie, your recent shows have been excellent, including, but not limited to, the vicious murders of Christopher Newsom and Chad and Christian, Monica Schaefer and Ryan Owens on the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, Patrick Dino Ryan on black criminal behavior, Valerie Protopapas on the right of the South to leave the Union, Fred Lucher and Jim Roselli on the Jewish question." He goes on, "There is no radio program in the United States that covers the things that Blood River covers. Your friend, Jim." And then down here he says, another note, "Miss Monica is a white person's treasure. Miss Valerie is a wonderful historian." I thank you people so much for those letters. I'd rather have that than money. I mean, I wouldn't take anything from that. I guess you can call me a glory hound, but, you know, I just love those. I think we all like to be told good things once in a while. And now, folks, excuse this hack. I stay outside a lot in the sinuses. You know my history with the sinuses, especially in the cold weather. It was 16 degrees here today, so it's been pretty rough outside. But anyway, people, tonight, here's what we're going to do. We have the one and only Sam Dixon coming on the first hour, and we're going to talk about the trip to the Ole Miss. He's going to tell us what the best of his knowledge, what we have to do, what blueprint to follow going down there, how to behave when we're there, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about that, plus any other thing that Sam wants to talk about. We have plenty of stuff here to cover. Now, we also have a fellow named Peter Scoop Stanton. He comes on the show on Liberty News Radio right after James Edwards' show, and he's going to give almost an eyewitness account for just a few minutes of a shooting in New York. Pete lives close to New York, up in Washington, D.C., but he has a friend up there who was on the scene, I believe, when two policemen were shot. One of them was killed by a innocent black. Of course, you know, the black was discriminated against, so he has a great reason to shoot cops. But people tonight, in the second hour, we're going to have Kathleen Dudley on. She's a new guest. Monica Schaefer is going to be interviewing Kathleen Dudley, and they'll tell you all about the stuff they're going to talk about. But anyway, right now, we're bringing on the one and only, my friend, the most intellectual guy that comes on this show, is Sam. And I was afraid I woke him up this morning, but I just found out a few minutes ago I didn't wake him up after all. So how are you doing tonight, Mr. Sam?
I'm doing fine, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing great. If I can get rid of this hack, I think a lot of it is I'm going to have this type A personality, just go, go, go. I was telling Cameron about that before we came on the show, but if you stay outside as much as I do, especially this cold, damp, wet weather, 16 degrees here today, and I stay outside a lot, but outside of that, I'm doing great. But
I'm the same way. I'm a little bit hoarse. I got I had hoped I had the COVID, where at least I'd get some immunity out of it, but after about 3 days last week, I went to the drive-thru testers, and I said I only had the flu, so I have all the misery and none of the none of the advantages.
You know, that reminds me of something. I got to tell you, I'm notorious for going off on rabbit trails, but we have another friend, brother, and supporter. I know you'd know him if you saw him in person. But he was telling me he got sick, and he got COVID. And so he calls his doctor and wants to come in, and the doctor says pretty much, hell no, you're not coming in here. You're not going to bring that stuff on me. After all, you know, to hell with our oath to heal the sick, you know, we come first. Anyway, so after a few days, the friend's still sick as hell. And he calls the doctor to try to get an excuse to continue to stay off work. And he has a really sensitive job with a state in the United States. He can't be outed. If the people found out he listened to our show and support us, they would fire him. But he says his doctor said, no, you're good to go back to work. And he says he's always listened to this like, you know, the COVID is the worst disease in the history of mankind. It's worse than the bubonic plague and the Spanish flu combined. For everybody except him. So they tried to send him back to work, and they still won't let him come into the clinic. I mean, I'm pretty much put out with these doctors, but I'm sorry I went off on that rabbit trail, Sam, but that reminded me of, matter of fact, I talked to him just yesterday morning. But, you know, we'll go to a break in just a minute, but I talked to you this morning, and we were going to talk about this trip that I've got planned. Dr. Hill, the League of the South, he said he would go along if Blood River Radio could kind of pave the way down there and make sure we could make it where it's kind of legally kosher. We could go down there without getting arrested or anything. So we got this one and only attorney, and there's only one other attorney I know in the world that's had the experience that you have working in this situation here, Sam. So, like I said, we'll be going to a break any second, but before we go, we can start out with that a little bit, and when we come back, we'll cover that plus anything else. You told some marvelous stories today. So, like I told our audience, we plan on going probably around when the kids come back from spring break. It'll be nice weather down there. We want to hand out pamphlets for Blood River Radio, pamphlets for League of the South. We want to do a broadcast down there. We want to try to interview some of these little airheads that have been brainwashed, et cetera, et cetera. So there comes that break music, Sam. So as soon as we come back, we'll go straight back to you, Sam, and we'll take off on that subject. Be right back, people. Hang on to your seat. We're going to bring the one and only Sam Dixon on when we come back.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you're going to have to say something. Well, dear Blood River Radio people, as we promised, we're going to go right back. The one and only Sam Dixon, a fantastic attorney, a great intellectual, and a great friend of the League of the South, a great friend of people like me and a great friend of mine. In fact, we were down in Pine Level, Alabama back in September, and it was a huge treat being able to meet Sam and break bread with him down there. So anyway, going right back to you, Sam. You just go ahead and take off on what I said, what we talked about today about Blood River Radio and the League of the South wanting to go down to Ole Miss and carry on that function. So go ahead, Mr. Sam.
Well, you have a lot of headwinds. You and I talked a little bit about the possible legal impediments. I'm not licensed to practice law in Mississippi, and I don't know anything about the University of Mississippi's policies. But I do know that the general policy of the American university is to try to seal the students off. That's the way it was when I was in college. They tried to prevent people who were not part of the university community from coming in and interfering with the propaganda. And so one of the things they had at University of Georgia was you couldn't have a student activity group unless you had a member of the faculty willing to be your sponsor. And of course, that blocked almost anybody that had anything to say that would really upset the power structure. But anyway, they probably have policies that you can't come on their property and distribute things, and you can't set up literature tables. I doubt that that's legal. Probably that would be struck down since it is a state facility. But you don't have the time or money to go through that. That's one of the deceptions that Americans have, is they don't understand the realities of law in America and the tremendous chasm that separates what you're told in civics class when you're in eighth grade and the reality of how America works when the rubber hits the road. And I've seen this over and over again in Georgia. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation and the police have repeatedly frustrated the efforts of genuine dissidents to distribute their material or to picket and that kind of thing by gimmicks like ordering them around. You've got to move here. You've got to move there. Move. Until finally somebody says, hey, we moved five times, officer. Why are we moving? And they say, you're under arrest. For not obeying police orders, things like that. And when you're in law school and you read about, you read these Supreme Court decisions and they come out with decisions saying that, the city of Griffin, Georgia was wrong and violated the Bill of Rights by not allowing Jehovah's Witnesses to go door to door with their pamphlets. That all sounds very good until you reflect that somebody had to pay for a lawsuit to go all the way up from Griffin, Georgia to the U.S. Supreme Court. And something that today would cost $250,000 to $500,000 to get the courts at the highest levels to order the politicized judges on the local level and the cops to obey the law. So for everybody that does that, there are, who carries a suit to the federal courts and prevails and this kind of thing, there are thousands of people who just give up and let the power structure silence them. So That's the kind of difficulty we face in America.
Sam, I saw something, I don't know if you told me personally, but I think you're the one that told me that even a broken clock is right once a day, once in a while.
That's an old cliche. That, twice a day.
And you named Karl Marx as being right. One time he was totally was right on the money when he said that the purpose of the courts were to maintain the status quo, to keep the powers that be in power, and to keep the other people, the others like us, from gaining any traction for keeping them in power. Is that right, Sam?
Yeah, that's how it works. And there are honest judges. I've known a lot of them. But they're not as many as one would think. And nowadays, especially with the complete politicization of the law system, the minority judges and a large proportion of the white ones, they feel perfectly at ease in violating the law and the rules of evidence and all of this to secure what's going to be the social justice result. When you start qualifying justice by talking about social justice, that's a problem right there. You know, you need to think of justice. And justice involves, here, considering the matter, the case is right before you. Social justice involves determining what category people fit into, and then ruling on it based upon what category is favored by the current political system. So, yeah, it's that way. And I get people, when I was a young lawyer, I would have the most radical people you can imagine. You know, Klansmen, American Nazi people would find me, and they'd come to my office and say, oh, we're going to file suit and this kind of stuff. And it was just amazing to me that these people have the idea that when the sleazy governor or the sleazy president appoints a judge and the sleazy legislature or Congress approves the judge, that somehow you get a bunch of straight arrows. You know, it's just astonishing how naive they were. But that's one of the problems we face. Hopefully they will come when the solid core demographics of America, people like you and me and the people who founded America and built it, will come to realize that the courts are not on their side and that you don't get justice in the courts. And that's an important That would be a very important step forward to resolving the problems we face.
You know, Sam, it's not too much for rap, Fred, I don't think, but I'd like to go back to something else you said once before. You know, when Sam Dixon speaks, I listen. Matter of fact, this might be another small rabbit trail, but the first time I ever saw Sam Dixon and met him in person, I've told him about this several times, was in what we call the Quad City of Florence, Alabama, Tuscumbia, Alabama, Sheffield, and Muscle Shoals. And we were over there with the Council of Conservative Citizens, I believe in 2007. It was probably around, I know I hadn't been out of the hospital very long, and Sam was speaking, and this is what really caught, I knew he was a straight arrow right off the bat, but somebody asked Sam, I've said this several times, but I'm going to say it again because I was truly impressed. When I first knew Sam Dixon was going to be a friend of mine, I respected him so much. This man said, when are the white people in the United States going to wake up, if ever? When are they going to get on their hind feet and say no more? When are they going to refuse to go back across the line in the sand? And Sam Dixon said something like this. When their children's bellies are swollen from a lack of food because the white people can't get jobs, I'm adding some maybe, when the economic conditions get so bad, social conditions get so bad, when a man loses everything, when there's nothing else to lose, he loses it. And I've never forgotten that, Sam. I distinctly remember that, just like it was yesterday. It's when
I would have to modify that. From the 15 years have passed since then, and my thinking has changed a little bit on that. And my thinking is that as much as people need to suffer to learn the truth, you know, Socrates said in his Sophocles in his play Oedipus Rex. Said that all praise to Zeus, who setting man upon the road of mortal life, made this a changeless law that man must learn by suffering. And that's true. Most people must learn by suffering. They can't learn from other people's experiences. But there's another ingredient this year, and this is something you and I were talking about this morning, and that is there has to be a sense of community. There has to be a sense of belonging. And that's what white people have lost more than anything else. You were talking about the young people that you see in the park in Memphis, the childless young people with their expensive dogs who become very upset if someone says anything in defense of white people. You know, I call these people deserters. They have deserted the community. They're like soldiers who have deserted their unit. They're all out now as individuals. And individualism is the great enemy of our race. It's something that has to be just ruthlessly stamped out. We have to be team players. We have to belong to a community. We have to work together. And individualism just doesn't cut it. But these white people, so long as they can think they can get individual salvation, that they can cut deals and go along with the program, you know, they'll keep doing that.
I remember that so well. Sam, my brother, we have to go to a quick commercial break. I don't know if you can hear the music or not, but dear Blood River Radio audience, we will be right back to Sam Dixon right after this message.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
From the deep south to the northeast, temperatures are dropping as a winter storm barrels through the area. West Virginia and the Carolinas are now seeing snow and ice, according to forecasters. Ice and snow hampered travel in cities like Raleigh, North Carolina, where a Delta Airlines flight skidded off the runway at Raleigh-Durham International Airport on Friday night. Meteorologists are saying watch out for ice as temperatures are going to drop overnight. The northeast part of South Carolina is expecting snow and ice, and new Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin is asking residents to stay off the roadways. Baltic nations are sending U.S.-made weapons to Ukraine. The world is watching for a possible invasion by Russia. De-escalating talks will continue next week. This is USA Radio News.
If you're drowning in IRS tax debt, pay attention to this special announcement. There's a special toll-free hotline set up especially for you. Get ready to take this number down to take advantage of the new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Here's Jesse from Las Vegas.
I've been so stressed out lately knowing that I owe the IRS over $22,000, and now they just garnished my wages. A friend of mine told me about Superior Tax Relief, so I called them, and they were able to stop the garnishment, and they were also able to help me with my other tax problems. I feel so free again, and I would definitely recommend Superior Tax Relief.
Call Superior Tax Relief now, 800-780-3910, and speak to a qualified professional who can protect you from the added fees and negotiate your tax liability. Superior Tax Relief can help open new doors with the IRS Fresh Start program that's available now. The consultation is free. The information is free. This call could save you thousands. Call 800-780-3910. 800-780-3910. That's 800-780-3910.
The FDA has expanded its authorization of the antiviral drug remdesivir to some COVID-19 outpatients. The antiviral drug has been approved for patients age 12 and older who weigh at least 88 pounds with a positive COVID-19 test results. They stress this is for outpatients who have mild to moderate symptoms. The FDA also revised the emergency use authorization for the drug to include pediatric patients under the age of 12 who are also experiencing mild symptoms, but are at a high risk of severe symptoms. The actions will allow the patients to receive remdesivir through intravenous infusion for a total of 3 days. The FDA said while these actions provide another treatment option to reduce risk of hospitalization, remdesivir is not a substitute for vaccination. They stressed that vaccination remains the strongest preventative measure against COVID-19. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family out there, I'm going to say dear fortune, lucky Blood River Radio family, because you've got one of the most entertaining fellows on earth. There's very few people, and I'm not supposed to praise Sam anymore, but I'll try to tone it down a little bit. But you're not going to see many people with Sam's credentials, as educated as he is, that it's also so entertaining. It's like going to the movies. It's so entertaining. But Sam and I would like to Sam to expand upon what we were talking about during what Sam and I were talking about during the breaks. And you know, people, all you people out there know me, I'm notorious for going off the script. But I think we do all need to be educated. And I was telling Sam that, I'll let Sam go first, and then we'll talk about what I want. Sam, go ahead. We were talking about the Greeks and you know, what the truths that they talked about, the realities of those, back in 400 years BC, or this supply the same age-old ancient truths, ageless truths apply today. So go ahead, Sam. Tell the audience what we were talking about before, during the break.
Well, we were just talking that we English have the Anglo-Saxons have the saying, the proverb, experience keeps a hard school, but fools will learn in no other. And, you know, a fool is somebody who will not learn from other people's experiences. He has to go out and learn the hard way. And, you know, when you read these great classics of our literature and our people, the extended people, not merely Anglo-Saxons, but the Slavs and Latins and Germans and Irish and others, you know, the same issues arise over and over again. And when you read the Greek plays, the ones that have come down to us are timeless. You don't have to know Greek or to read Athenian history or anything to understand the issues that they're talking about. You know, a great example is Antigone, in which deals with the conflict between the unwritten laws and the duties that somebody owes to a family, and the duties that are owed to the government. And that's something that's very relevant to us today.
Yes, it is. In fact, you know, the New Testament came after the Greeks, and I'm just going to what the scripture and the New Testament, Romans 13, I think it is, that talks about the law and what the citizens owe to the law, et cetera, et cetera. Matter of fact, there's another an attorney and a minister by the name of Pastor Charles Chuck Baldwin. He's out in Kalispell, Montana now. He had a mega church in Florida that he gave that up because of airheads, people that me and Sam were talking about this morning, people that cannot learn. But his son wrote a book called Romans 13. An attorney wrote this in just, destroying what most of we the people think that you should just owe, that their idea is you owe blind obedience, regardless of what the government says, you know, because Romans 13 says that you owe blind obedience to the government. I can't quote it, but that's pretty much what it says. And I know I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, but I was going to go back. Something else I remember. Going back a little bit in your time. You mentioned, I think you went to the University of Georgia, Sam.
Yes.
When you were there, hey, I've got the same hack you have, so we can just hack together tonight. But when you were at the University of Georgia, we know you were active then from the get-go. And I believe, I would like you, if you don't mind, to tell the audience about, because it's always very interesting to me, because I didn't know that things were that bad in those days. How the FBI, I believe, came around and paid a visit to you because you were doing some kind of,
I was quoted in the New York Times as criticizing Lyndon Johnson's embargo against the white government in Rhodesia. And the FBI came to the campus and ostentatiously investigated me. And this is one of the tactics that the FBI has always used, and it uses today. You often read in the paper, there was an incident here in Atlanta a couple years ago, and the Atlanta paper ran an article with a big screaming headline, "White Racist Hate Distributed in Doraville," which is a suburb of Atlanta. And they said somebody had put out white racist hate leaflets. And they quoted the head of the local FBI agency as saying that, "We're on it. We're investigating." And the police said the same thing. Since when is it a subject of police investigation if an American citizen exercises his rights under the First Amendment to pass out a pamphlet that disagrees on a public issue? But they know that this kind of investigation will terrorize and frighten people, and it causes most people to shut up. And that's what the FBI has always stood for. I've never been an admirer of the FBI. I remember early when I was a kid, all these conservatives would praise J. Edgar Hoover, sell his book, Masters of Deceit. The FBI, like the courts, exists to protect the people in power, that is the corrupt element that misrules and oppresses us, from the people who don't have any power, which means the ordinary American citizen. And that's just what they stand for. And I know that shocks a lot of conservative people, and it sounds very, very left wing, but that's the way it is. And the left wing understands that. You know, the Antifa, as Tucker Carlson, in one of his greatest moments, pointed out, the Antifa, which is supposed to be a Marxist anarchist organization profoundly opposed to the power structure in America, they never attack the establishment's political police. The Antifa only attacks local cops. They attack local cops in Minneapolis or Atlanta, all that kind of thing. The Antifa Marxists and communists never criticize the FBI, and the FBI never criticizes and goes after the Antifa.
That is amazing. That is an astounding statement. You know, if I knew that, I never thought of it that way, Sam. That makes perfect sense because you know what? The Antifa are, I think we have these here United States, I think we have been totally taken over by a communist, you know, Luciferian Zionist government. And they want, in the, this organization I spoke of, our enemy, they want to totally nationalize all police. They hate any type of local authority. They hate any type of local autonomy that we the people have over our affairs. God forbid we could direct our own affairs, you know, better than they could. But there's nothing more than they want than to get rid of all local police. As a matter of fact, this clown, I believe it's the Seattle and or Portland, Oregon. They're pretty much interchangeable. The mayor up there, one of these cities, it doesn't matter which, I know it's one of them, they wanted to totally, almost like decriminalize crime. They wanted to shut down the police department. They wanted to shut down the court systems as what we thought, you know, were existed, even though, you know, what you've educated us, the court systems have never been on the up and up for the past, I guess, 75 years.
They work in little ways. I mean, if you have a shop, if some unimportant, ordinary citizen has a yarn shop and somebody comes in and shoplifts 5 or 6 balls of the yarn, the court will enforce the law then. It's when you represent people who are profoundly opposed to the government, like we are, that you will not get justice in most of the courts. But yeah, they're trying to drive white cops out of the police department. That's the other thing they're trying to do. With this vaccination stuff, they're trying to... That's perfectly calculated, and I've been vaccinated. Your listeners will probably be furious to know that, but I went in and got vaccinated. But when you make it a condition to work for the police that you have to get vaccinated, it's a wonderful way to get rid of cops who don't go with the government program. It has an extra added benefit of getting them out of the police departments and replacing them with people who are compliant and who do what the power structure says. And George Soros is funding this stuff on just a massive level, all these attacks on the police. I'm pretty sure that George Soros is a very close student of the Communist Revolution. He stands in the shoes of people like the banker in New York, Jacob Schiff, or the other one, whose name escapes me, Helfand, who were the international bankers who funded Lenin and Trotsky and paid for the Communist Revolution in Russia. I think he sees himself as their successors, and he knows that when the communists had their revolution in Russia, they shot the Tsar's cops and emptied the jail of criminals, gave badges and uniforms and guns to the criminals and unleashed them on people who owned anything. And I think that's what he's directing with all of the effort to remove white cops and to install district attorneys who are part and parcel of his Marxist social revolution.
Sam, that's another dynamite statement. We have to go to, I can't believe we got to go to our last break already. Folks, we will be right back with the one and only Sam Dixon as soon as we come back from this brief message.
Dying. Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, I don't think we have any punks out there listening to this show, but I do think that you're lucky because we're having a great, entertaining show tonight. Not only is it entertaining, it's super intellectual and educational. You know, Sam, I was going to go back. I was going to ask you a question right quick, like in your opinion. Do you think that according to evidence we've seen in the past, especially since Charlottesville, that the powers that be, you mentioned that you pointed out all truthfully, factually, that how the police departments across the United States are trying to weed out the good cops by one, and one of the great schemes they're using is to like to force the people to get these vaccinations. The same thing is going on in the military. It's really scary to me that these people like this General Milley, who I despise, he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. They're weeding out. They're getting rid of the true patriots. You know, at one time, I'm trying to wrap this up quick. At one time, but the vast majority of the volunteers going into the Army and, you know, the Marines, especially the Navy, the Air Force, but most of the Patriots came from the South. I think West Virginia was the number one state in the Union, followed closely by, you know, with Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi. But they're weeding those people out. They're, you know, giving them litmus tests. For instance, during the so-called January 6th uprising, when the powers that be activated something like 25,000 troops, the FBI was vetted hundreds of, if not thousands, sending them back home because they were they weren't communist enough. Do you stand with that statement? Do you think that the powers that be, maybe this is a rhetorical question, are they trying to totally do away with any autonomy that we, the people, the local people have? Or do they want a federal police state?
Well, I think that's part of it, but you know, they control local cops as well, and the local police departments work with the government. we don't want to make more of them than what they deserve. But yeah, I think that the thing that you have to conclude is when you look at the government, and I don't mean by government just the elected officials. I'm talking about the whole bureaucracy and the invisible government, the big corporations, the banks, things like that. We are ruled by an elite that hates our country. They hate by the country. Again, I don't mean the little formal United States. I'm talking about the demographic group that built the country. I'm talking about the English and related European peoples like the Germans and the Russians and the Italians. They basically hate us. And they want to destroy us. They want to colonize us. They want to reduce our birth rate. They want to jail our leaders. They want to erode our rights. And this is just, you know, it's just, when you look at them and see what they do, I think it's an inescapable conclusion. You know, judges read a charge to juries, which they say that you can judge intent by the nature of the act. And when you look at the United States government, you can judge the intent. The intent is that these people hate us. They really despise us, and I think that many of them want us dead. And they'd be very happy to kill people like you and me and the people that are listening. It's that bad. And, yeah, that's how the system is. And they lie all the time. They're running the country into the ground. And, they want an army. They're recruiting aliens. You may be aware that a large percentage of the troops that we have are illegal. They're not illegal aliens. They're aliens. They're not American citizens. They're mostly non-whites. And they're earning citizenship in the armed forces. What that means is these are people who will obey orders to fire on the American people. And they're filling the military with people like that. And, I get frustrated with Southerners because they get so excited about these wars. And I've gotten people mad at me for saying this. But, you know, Southerners rush off to volunteer for these wars. These wars are never fought for anything that's any good for us. They're all fought for the benefit of the New York and Washington and Hollywood elites and their international agenda. It's like the stuff with Ukraine now. You know, no real American has any desire to go fight Ukraine, but the little committee of the super rich and aliens who live in New York City, they have an agenda to go to war with Russia. They hate Russia. They've always hated Russia. And they certainly hate it now when it's no longer communist. And so they're stirring the. But I can just imagine how, if we do get involved in the war with Russia, a lot of my southern cousins and friends will be rushing down to the recruiting station because we've got to kick Russian ass. You know, they don't get it that the government that busts the children in America, the government that's colonized our country, they don't change when they go overseas. They're carrying out the same anti-American policies in foreign policy as they carry out here at home.
That same government, Sam, that invaded the sovereign country of the Confederate States of America after, according to Gene Andrews, told me that the Confederate States of America had become, separated themselves, just like the laws of God and laws of nature and nature's God said they could, as talked about in the Holy Bible, as talked about in the Declaration of Independence. But Lincoln and his criminals, they didn't care. They invaded the South, and they're still doing the same thing. They still want, you're right, Sam, they still want to do that.
How many times are we going to fall for these lies? We had the lie in the Spanish-American War that the Spaniards had blown up the Maine. That was an obvious lie, and we know it's a lie now, but McKinley was lying about that. You had Woodrow Wilson lying about the Lusitania. And getting us involved in a war to save the investments of rich banks that had bought Allied war bonds and this kind of thing. And, you know, he lied about the Lusitania. They lied to the American people about that. You had Franklin Roosevelt lying to the American people to get us into World War II. You had the Tonkin Gulf lie to get us into the Vietnam War. You had the weapons of mass destruction lie that little George Bush told us. It's just these things are always lies. They're just lie after lie after lie. And yet people are always willing to believe, well, this time it must be the truth. This time, they wouldn't be lying about Putin. They wouldn't. Biden wouldn't be lying about that. It's our country. So, I mean, it's just awful that Southerners should be the most anti-military people in the country.
I've always said that, Sam. My dad preached that to me, but I couldn't help it because I got drafted. But, you know, you have hit on all cylinders. You mentioned one thing that jumped out at me of the so-called illegals. I still call them illegals. These murky, dusky people coming into the military. Gene Andrews, you know him all too well, our brother.
Yeah.
He was a former Marine. He went to some kind of a reunion. He was an officer. into, I think he went up to ran a Quantico, maybe Camp Lejeune, and he was talking to some of the younger officers there, and he said that upwards of two-thirds, maybe even more, of the recruits, the new Marines in there, including the officer candidate school, were not, a lot of them couldn't even speak English, English. Yeah. And you said it all too well, that they would love nothing more. A lot of these dark, dusky people, there was nothing more than they would love to stick a bayonet through Whitey's gut.
Yeah, they're conquistadors. They're like Cortez to Montezuma. They're conquerors. They've come to conquer us. And, you look at someone like Biden, people never talk about the issues that matter in American politics. When Biden's in his last debate with Trump, somebody amazingly asked him, are you going to enforce the law against the Antifa? So some journalist said, and you remember what Biden's reply? No.
What did he say?
No. He said, the Antifa is not an organization. It's an idea, said Joe Biden. And you can't prosecute an idea. Really? I don't think it's an idea on the streets of Portland beating the hell out of people. I don't think it was an idea that put up the death threat on me on a local website in Atlanta called the Atlanta Local Antifa. I don't think an idea sat at the keyboard and typed up the death threat on me. And this stuff, I don't think it was an idea that threw the bomb into the police car at an Antifa demonstration here in Atlanta and blew the police car up. I think there were specific people that did that. But what you had when Biden said that, he was giving fair notice to everybody in America, I will not enforce the law. I will not protect you. I will not enforce the Bill of Rights. I'm going to let this extremist group, this communist group, I'm going to let them run the rampant and do whatever they want, because they're helping me and my faction. And so we're not going to enforce the law. We're going to let them put up the death threats. We're going to let them beat the people up in Portland. We're going to let them throw the bomb at the police. But that's my faction, and I'm giving you fair notice that I'm not going to enforce the law. Now, that was a real issue. That's the kind of issue that when you meet a man like that, you know what you're dealing with.
You know, Sam, I'll tell you what, everything you said is oh so true, right on the money. And, I just wonder what we the people, first of all, we the people have to know that there is no law. There's no, the court systems are absolutely against us. We have to somehow, with our little radio show, and we, if possible, to teach the people what to do, solutions, how they can survive this totally out of control government. I guess I kind of got off track. And before we run out of time, since I was going to talk more about Ole Miss, if you have any solutions to make an end run around the policies in the universities and the end run around the so-called the state laws that keep people like us from going on and evangelizing in places like Ole Miss, could you?
You just have to do it and take your lumps. I have no silver bullet for that. But you do need to think of what you're going to say to these young people. They have not been educated. They have been catechized. They've been catechized the way I was in my parish of the Presbyterian Church when I took catechism class. The hearer read out the catechism question, and you recited the answer by memory. And that's what there's no critical – the difference between the church and the school system is the church made no pretense that this is what we believe. Here it is. Learn it. In the schools, they claim they're teaching how to think. That's just not true at all. There's no critical thinking in American education system. There's no contrary information. It's all designed to propagandize and catechize people. So you have to come up with little bullets, little ways to try to get the 20 or 30% of the young people who can think, which is what psychiatrists say is only about 20 to 30% of the people who can question what they've been told. You have to have little things that you can say to them to try to nudge them to get started. One of them I use, and I like to ask them, have there ever been any studies that showed that mixing the races in the schools ever produced any significant improvement in black academic performance? And they'll look at you like you're crazy. They'll say, oh, everyone knows that happens. And I said, no, I don't know that it happens. I'm here to tell you there's never been a study like that. And I can understand that you find that amazing. But think about it, young fella. If there had been such a study, you would have heard about it. It would have been on the news. It would have been the New York Times Magazine section. Your professor would be talking about it. We pursued a policy for three generations that has never had any statistical data to support it.
You nailed it, Sam. Sam, we're totally out of time. I can't thank you enough for coming on this show tonight. This has been the most entertaining show. It always is when you're on. I'll be contacting you again Sam, soon, Sam, all right. If it's okay. God bless you and good night. Thank you again, Sam, for coming on our show.
Keep the faith.
People, you just listened to the one and only Sam Dixon, and hopefully we'll have him on again soon. If you will, hang on. We're transitioning to the second hour. We're going to bring up Kathleen Dudley and Miss Monica Schaefer. We'll be right back.